It's about having the sense of there's a purpose, there's a meaning to my life. What is it I'm here to do? And essentially, the question I ask myself is like, this is my purpose and this is what I want to create. Who do I have to become so that creating that is easy?
Right. Nice.
You're listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. This is your seat at the table. Welcome to the show, ladies and gentlemen. This is the producer, Darren Clark, and we are happy to have SaaS founder, entrepreneur, and spiritual teacher, Calvin Corelli, on the show today with our host, Roland Frazier. But before we do that, we wanted to thank you for the subscribes you've been hitting and the reviews you've been leaving. We're loving it, and we're listening. Anyway, we think you'll enjoy this episode and possibly be encouraged to dig deeper and go where you may not have gone before. How's that for a cliffhanger? But I won't keep you waiting. I'll pass you over to Roland.
Hey, everybody. Roland Frazier here with my friend Calvin Corelli from Simplero, who has the Simplero shirt on. It's a beautiful black shirt with a lovely white ass and transforming lives at scale. I love it. Cool. Well, welcome to the show. Thanks for being here today.
Thanks, Roland. It's great to be here. It's good to see you again, man.
Likewise. Well, tell us a little bit about what Simplero is and what Calvin is doing these days as an entrepreneur, and then we'll go from there.
You bet. Well, Simplero is all-in-one integrated software for information marketing, as they used to call it, like coaches, authors, speakers. I like to think of it as like, you know, kind of like Shopify, but for stuff that doesn't need to be shipped using, you know, USPS or something like that. So any kind of information products from ebooks to, you know, full on online courses to challenges to whatever, it's the platform that lets you do that. Integrated, fun, easy to use, simple. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So anybody that's got basically any idea of what they want to do is an ideal client that has like any kind of information, consulting, that kind of stuff. It's a complete platform for them to do all the stuff they want to do.
Exactly right. And we get a lot of people that have been using other platforms and like 5-6 different tools. And then like they have this experience where they often like they go on vacation and stuff breaks down and they're like, oh my God. And then they come to us to have everything in one place. And we've got something that really unique, which is a concierge service, which is our white glove service that can do everything for you. And because everything's integrated, like they have, you know, access, they can go in and fix whatever it is, right? If things don't break, but if they do, or if there's something urgent, we have all the keys to the castle, if you will.
And it's all in one place, which leads me to, obviously, this isn't your first rodeo because you've built something that you realize that everybody needs, which is the ultimate entrepreneurial thing to do, find a need and fill it from something that you're frustrated with. So tell us about like what was your first entrepreneurial venture and how did we get to Simplero from where you started?
Yeah. Oh my God. So, I mean, since I was a boy, I was programming and I was selling software. My mom started a software company in 1980, grew it to 50 people. And yeah, market leading. I'm from Denmark. So it was over in Denmark. It was market leading, essentially a DOS-based competitor to Microsoft Office. Yeah. Wow. Which, yeah, it was pretty grand, actually. It was amazing. Yeah. So I got into that world. Like both my parents were programmers from back when there was all of 5 computers in the entire country of Denmark. Wow. It's pretty insane.
Well, so how did you get, because I'm really curious because programming to me is absolutely fascinating. I think it's super cool. So that's a pretty good set of role models for you to kind of get into that and mentors as well. What was your first language you learned?
Basic.
Okay. Yeah. Like it. And then
Pascal, I think, was one of the early ones. So it's like a weird story, but like my mother's business partner was the brother of someone who kind of basically reinvented Pascal and created a new compiler for it called Turbo Pascal. And he eventually created .NET and C# and that whole thing that Microsoft is doing. So yeah, it was fun times. Like, and I love coding still. It was my dad was the one that taught me and just picking it up. I had like very natural aptitude for it. So that's having that
skill. And are you still programming this day or?
Very little, but I dust it off sometimes and just, you know, do things, but it's really helpful as a CEO of a SaaS company, of a software company that I really know the code intimately. Right. I wrote most of the code that's there myself for many, many years. It was just me me doing that.
So you started, you had a few programming languages under your belt, and then what happened?
Yes. I mean, so as a kid, I would do software for my mom's company and, you know, basically like work for them and help them out. And then I started, I think my first, after graduating college, I was always doing stuff on the side, right? Like, you know, hustling. Moved to the US in 99, got a job for a company up in Boston called Ars Digita. I lived in New York City, but the company was based in Boston. Learned nice. So much there. I don't know if you like people, you know, you go to a university for 5 years and then I think I learned more in the first 6 months on the job than I learned in 5 years in university. Yeah.
Say, was the biggest difference? Is it just applied, the application of the things you know?
Exactly right. I mean, and even I was always programming on the side. I built an ERP system, like resource planning. Like my dad had a shop producing, you know, wooden and metal furniture for gas stations. And they looked at SAP and it was super expensive and very complicated. And you have to hire expensive consultants. And my dad and I, we looked at it. We're like, we can build something better ourselves. What do you say we do? And so I did.
Wow. And this was initially for his business, right?
Yeah. It didn't go anywhere past his business. It was just custom built for his business, right? But
I'll let you know now that you could do something to solve a problem that existed at a different scale for a different kind of customer, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Okay. And keep things simple, right? Like when you have to build an entire ERP system on your own, you have to keep things really simple and just focus on like, what are the things that people actually need? All the details, the bells and whistles.
And were you using like a Scrum-ish kind of thing, or how were you keeping track of all of your stuff? Was it
back then? It was just, you know, seat up my pants, but always a very agile approach, right?
That the SEMP program, seat of my pants, right?
Exactly, right.
Yeah. And then so now you worked for that company, and then what was the first kind of truly entrepreneurial thing that you did?
That was after moving back to Denmark in beginning of 2002. I started it was actually a consulting company. So we were originally based, the company I worked for in the US was based on open source software. And so I set up a consultancy around that. So it was custom. I always knew though that I wanted to do product, but it turned out to be really hard actually for me to get into product because I had these ideas, right? But they were, it's like a whole different game. Like I'm an engineer, right? I wasn't an entrepreneur really. I was just, you know, selling my time sometimes and doing, you know, small products and simple things, but not really entrepreneurial. So I didn't know. When I was doing consulting, I was like, guys, I know better, right? I got some big name clients. I got Greenpeace International built their CMS and their CRM. I got MIT's Sloan School of Management did like an e-learning platform that I didn't build it, but I worked on major parts of it. And I was always kind of second guessing, like, oh, here's how I'd do it. And this would be much better. And this would be much smarter. But when I got to actually designing my own product, I was like, it's hard.
It is.
It's actually, it's really hard. But what happened was, what clicked for me was I got into a life crisis, I think around age 33 or so. And I was like, I had this idea that I had, in order to be just even worthwhile as a human being, in order for even just justify my existence, me taking up space from other people or breathing the air that someone else could breathe, I had to be like a billionaire by 30. Know where that idea got into my head from, but that was like, it was very powerful. And so by the time I hit like 31, I could still convince myself I'm almost there, like right on the precipice. Like once I turned 33, it was like just broke down completely, right? I was like, okay, what is this? And so that led me to a personal journey of self-discovery, right? Who am I? I realized I couldn't feel anything. I think it's a typical programmer thing. Like you live in your head, right? You're like, feelings, what are they? Like my dad.
So what did you do? How did you pursue that path?
Therapy and coaching, and became a coach, took a coach education, spiritual teacher, body work. There's this incredible Danish body work called Body SDS that it's part of my plan to bring that to the US. I'm already bringing some of the products that he created. This is Body Meal, a meal replacement. I've been doing Body Meal only for a month now. And it's just, I've completely transformed my body. It's like heels and you know, I got six pack abs now. I never had that before, right? I mean, you know that I like to work out and stuff, but this is at a different level. So anyway, bringing that over here, like that body is so incredible and the founder is so amazing. So that's part of.
You kind of light up on that one. It looks like that's a very
yeah thing
for you.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Because the thing is like so much of this stuff, like you can't really get to through just talking, like, but when you work on the body, it just opens up a whole different game, a whole different yeah. level. And you can get to some of this stuff. And it's basically a process of like freeing yourself, right? I didn't know who it was. And I was like stuck in this case. And I was like, who is this? I did a personality test early on called DISC with my, that job in Boston, New York. And it had this natural style and adapted. And the natural said, you're an intuitive, but my adapted said like, boom, on analytical. Like,
right.
I thought I had to have everything figured out and have all the answers and be very analytical and logical about everything. And really, I'm a super intuitive person, right? So it's like, it's good to know.
That is.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now, how did you take that information and apply that to going forward as an entrepreneur?
So it helped me basically before I was like always jumping around like, oh, shiny object. This sounds cool. This sounds fun. Let's like, yeah, these people are successful. Let me copy them. These people are successful, right? So what happened was that process led me to a moment where I was like, huh, maybe I have to figure out what it is that I want to do. Like, what am I here to do in the world? And I realized I'd never asked myself that question. I never dared ask myself that question. But I did one day when everything was coming crashing down around me. And like literally down to like every contract that I had like evaporated and like partners started fighting and they fired
me. This was in the consulting business?
Yeah, I was still doing consulting to pay the rent at that time, right? And Greenpeace, I'd worked for them for 6 years, just me consulting at towards the end. They called and said, hey, we've outsourced your work to India.
Oh, nice. Thanks.
So yeah, great. Yeah. So that happened to me. But so yeah, sat down, I was like, let me find out, pulled out some books, some Tony Robbins stuff, some other things to try to figure that out. Ask myself some questions like, what did I dream of becoming? Right? What did I love to do as a kid? What are my favorite moments from high school, from college? What kind of people do I love to be around? What kind of activities give me energy? All these things. And I didn't even fully finish all of that before it just leapt out at me. Like, I'm here to integrate spirituality and entrepreneurship. And I was like, okay. And what that means to me is like this, the spiritual path that I've been on, which is basically about opening my heart, feeling, you know, it's about having this sense of there is a purpose, there's a meaning to my life. What is it I'm here to do? It's about not just trying to solve everything with outer work, like creating systems or processes or writing copy and marketing, but also doing the inner work. What is the psychological, emotional piece here that's causing the resistance, right? And essentially, the question I ask myself is like, this is what my purpose is, and this is what I want to create. Who do I have to become so that creating that is easy?
Right. Nice.
And so I work on that piece, and then the other stuff kind of ends up taking care of itself.
I like that a lot. Tucker Max, who I interviewed on here a while back, a buddy of mine, and he said that when he decided that he had had enough of basically going out every night and partying and having sex with different girls and all that, that he wanted to become the person that would attract the woman that he wanted into his life. And it's right. Kind of like you're saying here, I want to become exactly. The kind of person that exactly. will attract the entrepreneurial things or the business things that I want in my life as well. It's a very common theme. And I think a lot of people would do well to listen to that because that's so important. Because if you can change, if you can evolve yourself in that direction, then you can have anything you want and it just flows so easy. But if you're fighting that or you're confused about where do I have to be to attract these things that I think I want? And then when you get them, they may or may not be what you thought they were, right? But that's all quite a process. That's really cool. Well, and what did you find to be the most helpful? Like if you were going to recommend three things for somebody to do that's kind of saying, God, that makes a lot of sense. How do I put myself in the position to make things come to me easier? What would you tell them to do?
It's a good question. I have to think about that. I don't have a prepared answer, but it's I'm game. So what I like to do is imagine myself in that scenario, whatever it is, a year from today. So a year from today, like can be business, can be any area of life, relationship, whatever, right? So a year from today, imagine that you have this, right? Whatever it is. Let's say it's an incredible team around you. Let's play with that, right? So close your eyes and picture what that feels like and really notice how you feel in your body. Notice how it feels in your body to have that. And then at the same time, notice what resistance comes up. So for me, like always go to the body because the body knows way better than like our mental, especially our left brain knows, right?
Right.
So notice that in the body and then try to figure out what that's about. And that requires a wondering, right? So it's like when we immediately want to have an answer, that's when we go to the left brain and it's just going to say something that it knows, right? But what we want is something that we don't know. So is that like, what is it? What is it I'm feeling? What is the resistance I'm feeling towards actually having this thing that I say that I want, that I think that I want? Mm-hmm. And that's the starting point, right?
Okay. I like it.
Yeah.
I like it. So that's our first thing.
That's the first thing.
You can suggest resources too. What would you say? Maybe a better question would be, what of all the things that you did, what really moved the needle for you on getting to where you wanted to be the fastest?
All right. So, well, two things. One is that just asking myself that question.
What do I want?
Like I realized that I'd never asked it because I was afraid there wasn't anything. Or it was going to take me too long to find out, or I wouldn't like it, or like
right.
All these like weird unconscious fears. So just asking that question and being willing and open to hear the answer, huge.
Okay, I love
it. The other thing that I have learned is, and this get maybe I don't know if, how I'd love to hear how you receive this and respond to this because I'm trying to figure out like language wise, but I see us human beings as having both a masculine and a feminine side, right? Mm-hmm. Whether we're man or woman, sure. We have those different sides, different energies. And the feminine is the one that would go like open heart and spirituality and deep inner work and visualizing and all that stuff. And the masculine is the one that is very focused and strategic. Like, here's where we're going. I'm going to get there. And here's how we measure it. And like discipline and structure, right? And for me, for a long time, I went super deep in the feminine. Mm-hmm. And, you know, everything was suffering because of it. The business was suffering because of it. My relationship was suffering because of it. My health was suffering because of it, right? And the more things didn't work, the deeper I went in that direction, right? Mm-hmm. Versus realizing, oh, there's this other side of me that I need to build up. Essentially, like down to the, like, rebuilding my relationship with my actual dad, down to figuring out like why is that not very developed and figuring out how to be kind of reparent that part
and is
of
it
myself.
Possible that you moved into the feminine so much because of the challenge that you maybe had the relationship with your dad
exactly
so that totally. Wasn't as safe a place or as comfortable a place exactly. as the other right yeah
exactly
yeah. Right. And you know most people don't even know that's going on right
totally and I find that people are either you know people that are super heavy in their masculine but not very well developed in their feminine they have a lot of results they make tons of money. They have a, you know, gorgeous, if it's a man, right, gorgeous wife and all the outward success, but they don't feel that deep fulfillment inside, right? Then they lack that sense of meaning, right?
Yeah.
And people that are very deep in the feminine will be all loving and caring and all that, but they're having trouble creating the results. But what I find is that most people, again, like you said, aren't even aware. And so when it's not working, they just do more of the thing instead of realizing, oh, I have to build this entire other side of me.
I love that. That's really honest. So when you kind of went through that process and on the other side of it, were you doing the consulting while you were kind of going through that part of it?
No, immediately after discovering that sort of life purpose around integrating entrepreneurship and spirituality, it just, that just clicked for me. And I was like, holy expletive, I need to teach this to some other people.
Okay.
Like every single entrepreneur, not like what I mean by that is like every single entrepreneur that I knew at that point could benefit from that. We're struggling with some of the same things, right? So I was like, let me help other entrepreneurs with this. And that's how I discovered online courses. Because again, like I'm an engineer and a crappy entrepreneur at this point. And I'm like, how do I did you do a seminar? Like I've never gone to any kind of personal growth seminar or workshop or anything. I don't know anything about this world.
Right.
And so I was like, I came across Jeff Walker and his Product Launch Formula. He was launching right there and bought it. It was on my birthday in March 27, 2008.
That's
great. And it was like this wild, like, dude over in America. Again, I'm sitting in Copenhagen. It cost $2,000 over the internet. Are you crazy? And like, how do I know he's not a fraudster? Right. I'm like, but I was like, all right, this is your chance. If you go to bed tonight and you don't buy it, it's going to be closed tomorrow when you get up. So I was just like, do it. And I didn't regret it. It was great. It was really phenomenal.
Is that what put you over the edge was I'm just going to regret so much if I wake up tomorrow and I didn't do this.
Yeah.
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 That's
and I mean, I've seen that like over and over again, right? That like heating call. So last year I got connected with you guys over traffic and conversion last year. I actually pulled out of internet marketing for a long time. There's another story there we can get into, but then God was a traffic and conversion. I met you and Ryan and Perry and Richard. And when you guys sent out that email about Richard Branson reception, I jumped on that, which felt like a huge stretch for me, right? It's like, I'd rather like Richard call me up and be like, hey, dude, Calvin, I've heard you do some amazing stuff over there. Come on over, right? But you know, but there was really like that.
Selfishly, he doesn't do that very often.
I know, it's crazy. Yeah. Like, yeah. But I said yes, right? Even though it felt like, I'm not really sure here, right? And then that led me to visit Necker Island a couple of months later for another huge sum of money. But again, that's actually the thing that led to this guy, because I brought that and I was complaining to one of the other people there about how I wish the founder would just put it, you know, market in the US so I didn't have to schlep it across the border. And he was like, why don't you license it?
You do it.
And I never thought of that, right? And so now we have a multi-million business dollar coming just because I said yes to like a series of that. And here's the fun part. I got an email a month ago that this guy, Sean, in Miami, had gotten a hold of some body meal and he wanted to know if he could buy more. And so he found the company in Denmark. They sent him over to me. I talked to him. Turns out he got it from Richard Branson. So I gave Richard a bunch and apparently he passed it on to Joan, his wife. And then she passed it on to this guy, Sean, and then like full circle. And he's like, I love it. Let me help you guys market. I'm very well connected. And I was like, hey, you know, it's amazing when you say yes to these things, right? What can happen is really incredible.
It is. I love it. And so just for people that are listening. So we had Richard Branson spoke at our event. We had a private reception, which you came to. And then how did you end up at Necker? What was the process of that?
There's another guy at the reception. You know him. I forget his name right now. He's the guy that makes websites.
Dimitri?
Dimitri. Yeah. Dimitri's there. He was like, do you want to go to Necker? I'd love to. And he's like, let me introduce you to my buddy, Yannick.
Yannick
I knew of since back in the day. It was funny because I got his print newsletter, Maverick Insider or something. Yeah. And I found them in my dad's attic when I was there a couple months ago and sent Yannick some photos of them.
Such a small world, because I just interviewed Yannick for Business Lunch, the podcast before this.
Right. Oh, yeah. Yannick's great. Yannick's great. Yeah.
He's a good guy. So now I just want to kind of put the pieces together, because you had programming experience, you knew SaaS, you did the personal work. How did you get into, and you started getting into courses, and then is that when you kind of identified, geez, this is really hard, there's so many pieces, or did you go through that for a while? What take us from that point on into Simplera?
Yeah, so I just started doing my own courses, my own coaching programs with whatever tools were there, right? And then I was like, this like billing piece, we can do that better. So I built that. And then I was like, this email piece, I think we can do better. So
you were building solutions for yourself.
Exactly. Just one piece at a time. I always knew that like I did it in a way that others could use it, right?
Yeah.
And then other people in my network started asking, hey, can I use it too? And I was like, sure. Like I'll charge you at some point, but for now I'll just help you get going. And they were like, old game. So yeah, it's just as simple as that, how it grew. And when I moved to the US, the way I started to get into the US market was I bought Marie Forleo's B-School course. Yeah. And just join the community and just answer people's questions. And yeah. then like, oh, by the way, I have like a special deal trial for B-Schoolers. Like, what do you say? And then started spreading from there.
Nice. And that's really cool. So what do you do now that you've built it as an engineer, but not really a marketer at that point, correct? Mm-hmm. How did you go in? And obviously you had Jeff Walker's thing. So that's a great, super, super helpful mm-hmm. thing. Was it just kind of going around and taking more courses on marketing and networking and that kind of stuff?
Yeah, it was actually, so I got a little burned out. I think some of that early internet marketing, right, 2009 timeframe-ish, there were a lot of people that were not really, you know, making promises that they weren't exactly intent on keeping.
You were lucky that you bought Jeff's thing first because he's a good guy who has a good right. product that he's done.
Yeah. Right? And I got to meet Jeff and a bunch of other people in 2009. You can kind of like, you can tell with Jeff from the first minute that he's a very genuine guy.
Yeah.
No question there. But yeah, so I got in, I was like, I got to a point where I was like, I'm out of this stuff. Like, you know, and I don't know if that was a good decision or a bad decision, but I did. And there's probably a bit of an overreaction there. But I was just like, what do I love? Because before that, I'd actually gone like super deep in the marketing. I'd become like go-to online marketing expert in Denmark. But I was like, what do I love more than anything? I love product and I love service. So I love creating the best product that I know how to do. Just make that really great. And I love offering just exceptional customer service, like at a level that people are not used to, right? Where they feel seen and supported and heard. And so I'm like, I'm just going to double down on that because that's what I love the most. And then it wasn't until last year, I started investing in marketing and sales a little bit before that, but couldn't really get it to work. And then one of the guys that I work with bought me a ticket for traffic and conversion. That's how I ended up in back with you guys. Nice. And I remember Ryan Dice from back then, but I had never heard of traffic and conversion. I didn't know what it was. So
right.
tells
right.
you how out of the loop I was, you know. So
or how bad marketers we are.
One of the two, yeah.
That's funny. I love it. Cool. Yeah. Well, okay. So now what are for people that are interested in finding out more about you, about Simplero, about the other things that you do, what are the best ways for them to reach out and connect with you?
Yeah, for me personally, calvincorelli.com and Calvin Corelli.
And you spell it much, just for the people that are, it's yes, always good to spell. When I'm listening to podcasts, I'm like, spell that.
That's good. Also, I bought some of the typos, so we got a shot there. But yeah, Calvin, C-A-L-V-I-N. And Corelli is spelt a little bit differently than most people expect. There's two R's and one L. So C-O-R-R-E-L-I.
CalvinCorelli.com.
Calvin. Yes. And I think on Facebook, we're the Calvin Corelli, unfortunately. But because I managed to snatch up my own name using an account that Facebook shut down for some reason.
I've had things like that happen.
It's always fun. Yeah.
And, okay. And a podcast or anything platforms. Like that?
Podcast, yes. So also on YouTube, on podcast is the Calvin Corelli audio experience on all the podcast platforms. And there's the Calvin Corelli show video on YouTube. And then obviously Simplero, Simplero.com. Fantastic. And also Facebook and all the social media. Yeah.
Awesome. I love it. Well, thank you so much for taking the time to come and hang out for a little bit today. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Roland. It's been phenomenal to see you again.
Awesome.
Been fun.
You've been listening to Business Lunch with Roland Frazier. If you're enjoying the show, let us know by subscribing and leaving a review. And for more information, go to businesslunchpodcast.com. Thank you for listening.
What if 3 days could change the course of your business in 2023? Get Scalable Live is where you'll gain great clarity on the next steps that will help you create the business, life, and wealth you deserve. Connect with business owners and entrepreneurs just like you, hungry for advice, proven strategies, and necessary connections to grow a business.
Literally, million-dollar conversations are happening in the hallways, in the bathrooms, across tables.
Get Scalable Live at Fairmont Austin, November 2nd through 4th. Tickets are on sale now at GetScalableLive.com.